Oh, greetings, Elford, and coming from the Spirit Collective here in this beautiful Friday in California in February.
Beautiful February, isn't it? Hi,
oh my
Johnny
gosh.
Ann.
It's actually been, take a moment to appreciate what it is, right? Because there's just the nuances of the weather. It's been inclement, but it's been steady at the same time. And it really does just represent the delicious things about nature. And you can feel the energy of wanting to be included in nature, and you can feel the sunshine nourishing your system. And then you get that nice coolness and the full moon, and especially after the turbulence of last week. We were chatting a little bit about that. We can certainly talk about that a little bit more. But it's no wonder, really, that today's subject for the Spirit Collective is rebirthing.
Rebirthing, renewal, and just about the weather here. There's always it's the constant change, right? And one part of me says, "Let's do the Wren dance," and the other is saying, "Nah, I'm gonna sit on the lawn, soaking some sun and having a great time because everything is here at the right time."
And you know what's so cute is that soaking up the sun as you know, light rain.
That's right, light rain.
Light rain. Absolutely love it. Love it. So check this out. So rebirthing, what's really interesting that you posed the subject matter this week, because I'm working with another modality, another healing modality. And I wanted to share this experience from the client, what had happened. It's not something I've ever personally intended and or experienced myself. It just was very spontaneous and beautiful, and it's actually, and so it kind of fits in this subject matter. So if I may, can I lay this out and then we'll see, you know, what the draw is?
Go for it.
Okay, beautiful. So, I'm working with a modality to connect the conscious to, or I should say the meta consciousness to the consciousness for the client in what you and I understand, it's like to really ultimately open up a new perspective of awareness. And so so the modality involves, it's quantum healing. You and I would love to have the audience understand like some of the aspects that you do with what we call, one way we call heart entrainment. What does that have to do with the types of light, and what does it have to do with the wavelengths of light? And then this particular modality that I'm introduced to and introducing works through those light wavelengths. So not to keep everybody in suspense, but really essentially we're just bringing our awareness or attention to theta and gamma. Theta is something people are familiar with in terms of meditation and or dream states. And then gamma, people may not be as conscious of gamma, but it is this profound wavelength that can facilitate physical repair, physical change toward health. And it's like, and then let's really freak people out. It's like, and it can be spontaneous. And so the other wavelengths are the ones that most of us operate in most of the time, which is alpha and beta. So anyway, brain wavelengths, heart, how does this tie into heart entrainment, Ofer? I would love to hear how you explain it.
Well, I am not the student of this subject, but from what I know and what I experienced, the heart and the vibrational frequency, it has connection to the alignment of the heart and the brain, right? Because when we talk about frequencies like beta, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, whatever, theta, we talk about brain waves, and And so you hear a lot. I mean, like if you go into YouTube, you see entrainment, but it's usually in the context of the brain. And here you're talking about the heart.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I actually would like you to explain more about it because I find it fascinated. You know that I work a lot with the heart, and I work on, when I work with clients, it's about synchronizing the heart and the brain and letting the heart in many ways rely on the brain, but also drive the brain rather than the other way that life usually make us or
has us thinking,
sort of throw us into.
I'm
interested in more in the technicalities of what you're actually learning.
Okay, so a while ago, just to kind of give you a little bit of background about me as a body worker, I have to say I'm a little bit of a renegade in that some of the basic rules of body work are quietude, which really I like to say happens. It does happen, and I'll explain how it happens. It just doesn't happen the way that you initially would think, which is no exchange of words, for example. So there's this phenomenon that has taken place over the years in my practice that had me very curious for a long time, what was exactly going on. And this phenomenon was witnessing a client on the table, you know, and we're moving through the connection phase where, you know, they're establishing, hey, how are you? You know, it's been a while since I've seen you, and let me get you up to speed on what's going on in my life. And oftentimes there's a request from the recipient, you know, how am I doing? And what's really lovely about this is all about relationship. And I might just take a moment to do a plug on the concept of massage, because there is a lot of information that is not disseminated for the broad audience. So, and of course, I keep in mind that this also may be my custom concept of massage. But with that being said, massage can be so much more than connecting to the physical body. And as a person that I was always drawn to understanding energy, chakras, particularly essential oils, particularly as they apply to the body work, I wanted to take a moment to let people know that there's so much that profound shift that can take place healing wise in massage that may or may not have to do with a practitioner's physical techniques. Like, you know, when somebody says, oh, do you do cupping or do you do Swedish or, you know, what kind of style do you do? I find that is really not necessarily super helpful to the client in terms of what their body may want to communicate or need. So I just want to share one of the things that occurs. It's really a crazy phenomena. Is a person will come in and then they, you know, they repose on the table and they say, how are you, Johnny? And as I respond to them, because you can tell when somebody is genuinely interested, you know, and then one of the funny things is that they often ask because it allows them to seg from the outside world to this inner chamber, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so as I begin to pick and choose and share, you know, okay, this was going on, you know, and if they knew my family or something, it's pretty reasonable to be like, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so had to go to school today and this happened to them. And I noticed this phenomenon that no matter what it was that I was sharing, their body would shift into a repose state, like to the point where they might involuntarily twitch. You might witness a big deep breath and sigh. You can tell when their body becomes kind of one with the table versus tense against the table. And then there would come a point where, as you listen to the sounds in the room, there would be an evening out of breath and an evening out of motion. And the thing that always kept me in awe was that, honestly, it didn't matter what I was talking about. It was meaning it could be a bad situation, but because the initiation of conversation was done in a state of love and caring and compassion towards each other, which I want to say to people, this is a type of relationship that you, when you get the practitioner that works well with you, this is some aspect of the relationship that is nurturing and nourishing in the community. It's another way to be part of your community to receive like this. And so my point just being that it didn't matter what I was saying. And that just floored me. Like, how is it possible that no matter what, the client starts to zen out?
So, you know, I feel when you say this, that there is a sense of trust. There's a deep sense of trust that allows the body to relax and a person to be more deeply in tune to their body, right? And you know, so bring it back to the first, to the earlier question that you asked me. Mm-hmm. It also, so when you're attuned to your body, you also start to synchronize more closely your heart and your brain. I mean, mm-hmm. And I'm talking about on a physical level.
Absolutely. No,
it's like if the energetic color of the heart chakra is green, you will probably see that the brain starts to also adopt green.
Right. Right. And it's interesting that you should talk about color. That actually brings me into this particular session. It was fascinating. So in terms of rebirthing, so anyway, this particular technique that I'm adding into the toolbox, it's a standalone technique, and I'm contemplating it and for what it is. And really what it is it's a heart entrainment, as we had explained. And what that means is that like with your work, when you're coming from an open heart, an open-hearted space, there is the presence of energy, and that energy has different vibrations. And those vibrations create a sensation, and that sensation moves light. And it's different types of light in the cellular system that facilitate integration, like you were saying. So in the massage, for example, because my heart is the intention is to relate with this individual in a manner that upholds their healing and their health. So whether it's conversation, physical touch, application of modalities, whatnot, that is the prime or the foundational energy. And so that energy is synchronistic energy. It wants to work in rhythm. And so because the heart is connected to the cellular flow, like through the blood circulation through the body, and that is what fuels and nourishes the skin, and the central nervous system is the conductor of information back to the brain. Mm-hmm. So when we start to become conscious of our heart or our heartbeat or our breath in relationship to the heartbeat, and we start to synchronize that, then it invites the body through the central nervous system to attune. And then that, it goes to the brain, and then the brain starts to receive messages, which is just simply electric communication or magnetic communication, in that on a deep cellular level of synchronizing, hey, this cell is my cell, that cell is my cell, these are all my cells, we're all here together. So like I said, I pondered over it for a long time because it was a rule breaker, you know, to talk. And, you know, you're not supposed to be like all about you, you're working with the client. So how is this phenomenon taking place? And so check this out, Ofer, I just want to share with you. So I didn't have the answers. So I just sent the request. I put in the petition to collective consciousness. What is this? And the very next day, I got an ad or something talking about heart entrainment.
Yeah. Even when, you know, at least in my experience, even if there is no talking, there is usually some sound, mm-hmm. like music, right? There is some form of, you can call it, there is definitely some sound vibrationally going. I have a feeling that the talking is, it's more direct, right? It's mm-hmm. it's personal. It's like a key sometimes to open
right.
a door directly.
Yes. And you and I know the beautiful thing about the physical heart and the space that the heart occupies is that it is a portal or a doorway.
Yes.
Yes. And so yeah. So that's kind of my background. And then this particular modality works on, it's considered somewhat of a hypnotic state of being, which meditation is.
Heart entrainment.
Yeah. 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 And so and the thing that's so beautiful is it really, regardless of what frequency or what wavelength of activity that is going on, all of them serve a purpose. And, but in this particular one, when we're in quiet on the external and we're focused on the internal and we start to move into that sequencing or the harmony of our own internal system, what the beauty is that it can activate your recollection. It can activate your memories. It can activate the foundation of your experiences. It bring it back into the moment. But the beauty is that when you look at it from the relational standpoint, you've become an observer or a witness. And so even if it was a terrible,
it also removes attention to external stimuli, right? And then mm-hmm. and then what happens internally is you just connect to what happens when the outside noise is or even the internal noise is mm-hmm. replaced with, it doesn't have to be silence, but there is something calm or there is something more clear about right. what's going on when that happens. And then and then something else happens. It's like some sort of alchemy. It's when also your imagination starts to be more active because you're allowing it, because you're not trying to dictate with your brain what's gonna be thought about or what needs to happen next.
Right.
Which we love to do.
Yes. And what was really interesting was this last week, the word that keeps being brought to my awareness is perspective and perception. And it's so interesting because we do get caught up in the faster speed, the faster wavelengths. And even though we are always recording the environment in which we're in, our perception, there are things that are imperceptible, right? Is that a word? Imperceptible?
Well, that's not my department. Valid English words. But so, it sounds good. It sounds great. I get it.
And so to track back to this rebirth phenomenon. So my experience, why I was kind of chuckling over the synchronicity of you bringing this up this week was, so I'm practicing these new styles, right? And the client, actually, so if this is a type of regression, which is means just move back through time and then move back through time without any parameters on what that time or space continuum is, which is also just another way to talk about meditation, which is this concept of presence or being in the now. So the delineation of past, present, future really isn't necessary in this awareness, because the funnily enough, everything that you've experienced is has an imprint on your cellular system. So it's like you're a walking photo album. And so as you all know, you flip through photo albums, right? You're going to transport through time. So this person, I can't remember the reason why we were in, there was a grand purpose of reconciliation. And that was the reason we were doing the session. And that, you can come in with anything really. So in this person's case, it was, I'm really happy right now in my life, which is, could stupefy you as a practitioner. You're like, okay, so you're really happy. So why are we here? But it was, I am really happy, but simultaneously, the people that I want to be happy with are not in my life to share this with. And is that something that I need to harbor, or is this something that I need to reconcile? Or, what is the purpose of not being able to go through pain and suffering with people and then
quick interruption about kind of observation mm-hmm. of when you say that somebody comes to a session and they're happy, so why, what's the drive? And sometimes it is a transition from mm-hmm. being in a healing phase into saying I'm moving into the creation or manifestation
Of that healing
mode.
So
healing is creation and creation is healing, but you can feel that transition right when it happens, and then mm-hmm. you feel great, and how can I now either feel greater even or share mm-hmm. How I feel with others so that there is wholeness, new level of wholeness introduced.
An expansion. Yeah. And then also if you've gotten conditioned through your experiences where happiness was a little bit unattainable, you can also carry, I don't know, the language would be probably like punishment attached to it. Like if you were happy, but somebody in your life was not happy and they couldn't handle your being happy, and it's just like,
you're not allowed to be happy. Yeah.
Right. And so you could come into a session happy and there still be aspects of reconciliation.
Yeah. There could be still an old belief or mm-hmm. even, somebody's soul fragment in your body that's still saying, well, it's not okay that you're happy when everybody around you is miserable. Right.
And I love this, Sofer, because you just brought into, one of the aspects of this particular session. So in the modality, the world of information within each of us is vast. And so it helps to kind of narrow the field, pursue a specific. Well, so this specific was, I'm happy, but yet I'm struggling with my connections, my heart connections. Okay. So in the regression, some of the invisible things or the imperceptible things or the nonsense things is just as critical or as important to what's revealed. And so my point to that is that, so this person journeyed through three very distinct phases that are all this person. And there was a sequence and an order to it. And the first one was a childhood experience. And then you get to witness this day in life of. And then they moved to their presence. They moved to their spirit rather than their soul. Mm-hmm. And then the third one was, here it comes with the rebirthing. They went to in utero. When they were in the womb and all of the aspects of what they recorded about themselves, about their mother and about the situations that the mother was involved in while this little soul was getting ready to birth into the world. And that's the first time I've ever done any womb work or rebirthing work. And I wanted to bring this to you and say, this was so profound. Of a rebirth for her, because her trauma around or in relationship to her family, the trauma was on every level imaginable that you can put words to. And so this particular person's challenge was to let go, to let live, to let forgive with not forgive the actions, right? You know, it's not the actions, but if love is forgiving, and I cannot be in a love relationship with you because it's very detrimental to being in a love relationship with myself.
And also ask the question, right? What would life be like? Where would I evolve? How would I evolve if I did not have these oppressive influences, right?
Yes.
If you remove that, and that's the nice thing about playing with time, we know we can actually go back in time and remove something that happened. How would life flow forward if that was no longer an issue?
Yes, a construct.
Right.
And so, I just wanted to share with you the profound effects for this individual as we brought the person, you know, like the nonsense was, why this particular order? You know, what was her spirit revealing to her in the particular order of these important moments in time? And it was like, and her spirit responds with, because you needed to see that regardless, you were whole and you were full of love and you were full of light. And one of the aspects that her own spirit brought her to was literally, she was just describing herself as color. And like no body, right? No form, just a pure color. And then started to give me, as I'm listening, explanations for how each color feels, what it's conveying in the color. And then I could tell from her awareness that she was surrounded by all these other colors that were actually spirit. Is that amazing or what?
That is profound. Yeah.
And then to bring her back into coming into the body, to being embodied as the spirit, and showing them that even in those worst case scenarios, like you're saying, in those most oppressive times, you remained whole and unto yourself. And like the enlightenment that took place, the ability to love and have happiness, the sensation of happiness, and to be able to hold the space of love in relationship to even a person who was the oppressor, freed this person to be in distinctive loving relationship with self. And then to witness that emanate out of her, it was her alignment, like synchronized, the heart wavelengths.
That does feel like a form of rebirth.
Rebirth.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so I'd and, love to hear, what are your thoughts on, like, what was bringing your attention to rebirth?
Just to wrap up how, one impression that I got from recollection of the example you're giving, it is, I mean, most of us have something that happens early in life, right? And later in life, we struggle with it. Either it has been around all the time, pulling us down, not letting us pursue our potential.
Yeah.
And or you know, we've dealt with it. We've dealt with it. We handled it. We managed it. But still, the pull is there. It's triggered every time, you know, and we just learned how to work around it with it, and it's still there. And so it's very powerful when somebody decides, okay, now I want to go deeper and I want to go to the root of what's happening, because you can work at the leaves level of a tree, and that's fine because the green leaves will keep popping out every spring. But you can also go to deeper to the root level and start exploring what happened and then making a change at that level, right? I mean, you can go to the moment of conception and as Cindy Dale likes to talk about, the master cell, which I think is the fourth or fifth
split cell, right? The primary,
right? And and see what was going on then. I mean, what was the primary influences there that led to the way cells and genes turned on and off, and all the divisions, the future divisions happened, that could be influenced from something that was going on there. If mom was under some sort of stress, and there are a lot of reasons for that, what is the trauma that could be undone if we went all the way back and literally undo? Because that's what we do with healing. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is in many ways undoing, and you can also undo physical harm and physical influences that just resulted in going in a direction that no longer serves us. It did. Mm-hmm. There was a lesson. There was probably even a reason to go through this, but at some point, it restricts us. It doesn't let us use our full potential. It doesn't let us align with why we're here. And that's the time when it's kind of nice to go. And it doesn't mean that it's easy. It probably isn't. But to go to the roots, to go into those shadowy, dark places and work them so that everything else can start unfolding the way it is supposed to unfold now. And it can be done fast. It doesn't have to take, you know, years and years or lifetimes of work. It can be done relatively. I mean, nothing is done. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. Sometimes healing can take literally a second. For most of us, if it's really deep, it will take longer, but it doesn't have to take years.
So another little aspect of that for the audience is, you know, of course, this is going to spark skepticism. And I want to just address that for a moment, because as you were speaking to the process, where the skepticism is that really true? Can it really become something that is nothing? And the answer is it absolutely can. However, there is a caveat there, in that if there is an aspect of it that still needs your consideration, that still needs a shift from within you, then that will remain for you to pursue. And so as an example, right, you're just like, how is it possible? The truth is that if you were to ask me now, like, how's that situation, that was going on between you and your dad, a couple of years back, and I would literally pull a blank. Because what happens is when you put in that gardening, as you're speaking to the spring gardening, when you put in the 100% concentrated effort toward desiring the optimal return on your investment, the flourishing garden, then you address every aspect of it. You leave no stone unturned, and you water where you're supposed to, or moderate the water, and you pull the weeds, and you check the weather patterns, and you pay attention. And so the shift can take place, and it can continue to solidify into a more optimal space.
Right. And the change will be, as you say, through some sort of evolution, because there is actually value in going through the slower motion, evolving. And sometimes you're done with it. You're really done with it. And you no longer need that. And then it's the revolution that can take much faster pace of change.
So
both are valid, and both serve a purpose.
So I'm just going to make a little side note here for the audience. I just want to acknowledge, Ofer, that your connectivity gifts are expanding again. And so the audience understands, it's like the more that you embrace your truth, and the more that you embrace yourself with love, and the more that you acknowledge the gifts that you are and that you apply to the world, the more that they strengthen. And so what I'm speaking to here right now in terms of your connectivity, I just want to give you a cute chuckle. So, you know, we started off with, hey, let's talk about rebirth. Okay, I've actually got something to share about that right this week. And then as we're speaking, you're like, let's talk about a little bit about, hold on, let me track back because it just tickled me. Oh, you brought up the primary cell. And so the primary cell technique Cindy introduced us to, sorry to say, I always suck at remembering people's names that are the pioneers in the different healing methods, but there is a gentleman that pioneered this awareness.
Yeah, and I don't remember. I know who you're talking about, and I don't remember either.
And it doesn't matter, folks. You can look up primary cell, because this one person has brought this into the world, so you're going to be able to find the information. So it was really interesting. I was chuckling over because I did. That was the modality that got brought in just 2 days ago with another client, and I'm like, hey, Ofer, like, you're totally tapped in. You're like part of the collective consciousness.
It always happens like this, isn't it, school?
Yes.
I mean, we were in another conversation, just for our audience. We were in another conversation talking about something completely different. And then, you know, I offered, shall we talk about rebirth? And you reply, yeah. I just have a client that we went through, and the funny thing is, I was not thinking about your client, but I was thinking about myself.
Yeah.
Selfishly. And it's just aligned perfectly well, right?
Absolutely.
And so my own perspective, and it actually is, it's kind of fun to see how, you know, I'm saying it's selfish, but everything selfish also somehow rolls into the entire
selfless,
the yes. entirety of humanity and selfless. Yes.
Yes.
And so goes back to what you were saying in the beginning of this conversation about, I don't remember how you said it, but it's like when a client goes into a particular state, then they're connected to others, to their family, to their community. Mm-hmm. And so here, it is the calling to, where I see rebirth as something to do with discovering why you're here, and it doesn't have to happen all at once. In fact, it probably doesn't, but there is suddenly something flipping, and it just dawns on you that what you've done all of your life has served a purpose, and now, even if you're going to continue to do the same thing, mm-hmm. it will look and feel and be completely different, because the reasons of why you're doing something are no longer only have to do with you or with what you or with what others perceptively expected of you. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there is this shift that has to do with why am I here? Why do I do what I do? What is it that I like to do? What is it that creates my heart entrainment in your terms, right?
Right?
That opens up my heart. And then you could literally be a prisoner in a cell and be inspired. Because it has nothing, well, it, you know, external life is still there, but you're gifted with something that is way beyond that mm-hmm. changes, because you know, we can be in pain, we can be suffering, we can be feeling really bad, and our body is just going through this. I mean, these are just chemical stuff that is going on. It's our mind that is doing all the interpretation, right? It's our mind that is saying, okay, now you feel uncomfortable. Now you want to move up. Now this is pain. You can, your mind can learn to change the definition of even what pain feels like and what pain is. But that's besides the point. But when this shift happens, I feel like this is the point that you start rebirthing yourself. And that doesn't have to happen just once. It can happen at any moment. In fact, it does, right? Because our body is renewing. Every cell, lives and dies. It lives for a short time, it dies. And yet our body moves forward. It's like a river. If you look at a point in the water, you can say, I'm looking at the river, but everything that is making the river is shifting and changing all the time. And so you can call this change every moment we rebirthing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we add to this the awareness that we have a purpose, it's just a matter of redirecting how we are rebirthing ourselves.
And I'd love to just take a moment to tap a little bit more into the concept that's been brought up here, which was a style of rebirthing, reconnecting to the primary self. So the theory is, and I don't know that it's just a theory, to be honest with you, because it would make sense that it's an actuality. So the reference to the primary cell that this gentleman is making is that when you inspire to this body, you start off as the egg and the sperm, and then there's a conjoining in that they become unified, one unit, one big cell. And so action takes place. We're gonna like super simplify it because we're not in biology right now. So action takes place, right? And then vibration, and then a split takes place. So the primary cell, what this gentleman is speaking to is, so from the nucleus to the first split, and then there is two, and then the split occurs again to four. And then the split again occurs again to 16. And it's at that moment, if I understand correctly, it's at that moment between 16 and 32, when your genetics marry, your spirit and your physical choice, the physical matter that carries all of the deliciousness that's going to allow your spirit to come into form in an optimal way to experience self. It's in that place or space that's the primary cell, correct? Do I have it right? Does that ring a bell?
It does ring a bell. I'm just not ready for this quiz, but it does ring a bell.
Well, yeah. I want to bring it into the next moment of rebirthing for the audience. So as you acknowledge this for yourself, that each of us has done this process. So there's that space and place and time in which it really is just you. And then, so Ofer was mentioning, the experiences now start to add nuance and layers to your life. And so the client, was asking, like, how do you reconnect to your primary cell? And as I was explaining the process and sharing the moment, I said, you're doing it right now. You're saying, that version of me, that original template, before I started having all these experiences, I'd like that to be the activation moment, and letting go, or that process of forgiveness, right? Invite yourself to let go of all of the stuff.
And let go of everything else that was going on externally around you that literally put fear into your being.
Or, yes.
Right? Because we have these two very primal opposing polarities of the fear and love. And when something And, you know, fear can be coming from many places, from an anger, from all kinds of emotional states. But it results in something that once that's there, for whatever reason, because, you know, mom was under extreme stress when this was going on, when the split from 8 to 16 or 16 to 32 happened. And because that happened, now I have this grain of fear in me that becomes like a magnet. Mm-hmm. And so it starts magnetizing to it sorts of, you know, you can look at anything that is floating around you. If it's, we talked about the about viruses the last time, but it can be physical viruses. It can be it can be entities, spirits.
You were speaking about a soul fragment.
Yes.
Perfect. That was perfect, right?
And what I refer to by soul fragment as an example, because there are many, is there is somebody else around you. And many times, because you're in mom's body, it would be mom, but it could also be dad, and it could be somebody completely different.
And it could be your fragment.
It could be my fragment as well, but let's take for example, mom. Mm-hmm. Is in a, you know, I'm just inventing here something. So, but I did take clients to that point, and we could feel something like there is a shouting match going on, mm-hmm. and there is anger, and there is also fear. And these literally then are being pushed into the body.
Vibrated.
And when they pushed,
yes.
They're being pushed into the body. And of course, you're inside mom's body and it's being pushed into you.
Yes.
And that's where it started physically for you.
And isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And so, audience, as we encourage you to just have this personal experience, also become conscious and aware that you are whole, and you're also in this observation of, like, that literally is how it happens, how it becomes a part of your environment, and then how you have response or reaction, and that the influence of, in this particular case, because you are embodied in another's body, the response or reaction may not even be yours.
Exactly. And it did result, even though it wasn't you to begin with, mm-hmm. it ended up something inside of you that affects even physical things like which genes expressions are going to be active or turned off, and also which of the what is it called, the ancestral genes,
Oh, the genetics.
Hereditaries. I'm thinking of there is a word for it. I'll remember. But anyway, the genes that you like family historical tendencies and beliefs.
Funny. I'm gonna throw out another one. Heritage.
Yeah.
Wait, the audience, you get the point, right?
Right. Yeah. Of course I'd forget this thing, because then I have to describe mm-hmm. it. And so yeah. It's all good. And so what happens is, genetically, we receive from our ancestors, not just the biological known genes, like, you know, the color of my hair, mm-hmm. But also my tendencies to be angry, of course, but also my tendencies to put the blame on somebody external. So we're even going into the realm of beliefs. You can inherit beliefs from one side of the family or from both sides,
right.
And then suddenly you have these things inside of you, and you know, something is triggered in you when you're adult in a life situation. It's like, who's talking, and and who's feeling like this? Because I'm not sure it's even me. So mm-hmm. where is it coming from? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it can come through genetic expressions. You know, there is this part of the inside of the genes that is the junk material.
Right. I call it the matrix, the suit matrix. Yep.
But it's, even though scientists call it junk, it's really important.
Right.
Because there is so much in it. It's just that it's not well mapped and well known to say what exactly, how it works. But we know that it includes, epigenetics. That's what
there it is. I knew it was coming. I could feel it.
And so you just, it just comes to you just because you were born to a family. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's there, and it comes down to something very simple.
Yes.
If you want to be able to get over some beliefs or blocks or veils, you go there and you explore. And sometimes you're able to simply clear it immediately and it's gone, especially if it's not yours, if it's somebody else's.
It's so interesting.
That often happens. It's gone, and then suddenly everything changed immediately.
And so what I love about this is it's such a treat to say you literally can disown it.
Yeah. True.
And so the client was saying, you know, well, how do I get that? How do I do that? And I said, honestly, it just even in your newfound awareness and making a decision or a choice, right? Saying to yourself, I value myself, I love myself enough to want to be purified. So take my system that I have co-created, I've materialized, and return it to that original blueprint. Here's the reality, people.
Yeah, and you know, maybe we can demonstrate it, not today because we're kind of out of time, but another time.
Mm-hmm. To help people
understand how they can do it, because it really is available to everyone.
Everybody.
It's not like we're special and only we can mm-hmm. do it.
Exactly. And yes, since we are closing up on time here, I just want to extend that. Hey, the reason for our being here, for Ofer's and my being here, is to facilitate the expansion of ultimately of divine light. Like, our sacred journeys on the planet right now is to just be available to have these kinds of conversations, to bring this consciousness to more people so that they can co-create with us. And so, yeah, if we could do a simple closing. Let's just do a simple closing intention in regard to the primary or rebirth of one's beautiful spirit into this beingness of the world that we're currently enjoying in all of its amazing natural beauty. I just would like to invite each other to affirm our essence, affirm each other's essence and divine essence, and ask for each and every one of us who so wish to, for their ultimate appropriate good, receive the shift into their purest selves, that even if it's just for a moment, to be able to experience their own presence within presence and with absolute love to illuminate them from within, that all aspects of them, regardless if it's epigenetics or emotional wounds or physical wounds, mental wounds, whatever the garden is full of, just inviting the awareness that it is a garden. And that is so important to be able to connect into. I'm just asking for that moment to be amplified, solidified, breathed life into, cherished and nourished with absolute love until we meet again.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Johnny Ann. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.